it all starts with that small step. So figure out whatever that is. Maybe make a free mastermind group. Find five or six guys or gals that you can meet with over Zoom every Friday morning over coffee. Set some goals there. Make them hold you accountable.
Welcome, my friend, to the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And as a veteran of the financial services industry, I was curious to find out why, despite all the good that financial professionals do, that yet the term financial advisor would clear the room so fast at a dinner party. Why was this? And what was this gap between consumers of financial services and the providers of those services? In this podcast, I seek to close this gap by having forward-moving conversations to advance the profession of giving financial advice and provide tools to the next generation of financial professionals to serve their clients at the highest level. You see, as providers of financial services, we have the awesome privilege of partnering with consumers to help change family trees, normalize the creation of wealth, and help the industry as a whole do less harm and more good. So it's time to sit back and enjoy the conversation. Welcome to another Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today, we have none other than Benjamin Brandt. Benjamin, you are a certified financial planner, founder, and president of Capital City Wealth Management, a Bismarck, North Dakota, fee-only financial planning company. You're also host of the popular podcast, Retirement Starts Today Radio, and the blog. You were recently named as one of the top 40 financial advisors under age 40 by Investment News. And you're also an Iraqi combat veteran, having served the North Dakota Army National Guard for 8 years, including a 15-month deployment in Iraq in 2003. Thank you for your service, sir. You've been featured in the Huffington Post, CNBC, Forbes, Business Insider, ClarkHoward.com, and many others. And in your free time, you and your wife, Kristen, can be found on weekends at the hockey rink or at the gymnastic or wrestling mats, chasing your six energetic children. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Dom. I really enjoy that you said I was on the 40 under 40 list, because this is the last week in my 30s. So hearing you say that is just music to my ears.
Timing. Timing is everything. I didn't even realize that. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's true. This time next week, I'll be 40.
Well, man, I'm glad to have you here to kind of chop up this episode. I think you are an excellent example of an advisor that has taken a platform, one of the platforms that you can use for media to expand their brand, reach more people, grow your practice. And I think a lot of advisors want to hear about that. And not only advisors, existing advisors, but possibly people that want to get into this field. So I really, really appreciate you taking your time to do this for me. First of all, before we get into all this, tell me how it has been with six children in a global pandemic.
Well, it's been interesting. We're extremely blessed that for whatever reason that we can get into, I started the podcast years and years ago. You know, we're in a crazy bull market, and that bull market came to a screeching halt with the pandemic. So actually my assets under management doubled since the pandemic. So that, I know you asked about the kids. That really helps with the kids. When things are going really well in the business, it takes a lot of the stress off of the parenting side. But I'm super fortunate that I've been really intentional about balancing a successful business and a family life. So I only work a little less than part-time. So I'm home with the kids for the entire pandemic. I was home with the kids during the entire pandemic, and we doubled our AUM. So I'm beyond blessed. So I'm happy to, that's why I'm happy to do interviews like this. I want to preach the gospel of, you know, you could do whatever you want with this career. It's a wide open blue ocean.
Yeah, I think, so this is an excellent segue to, you know, people, I think advisors, they look at where you're at from what you're doing on a media basis, how you're growing your practice, taking time off to spend with your family. And they're like, man, I would really love that. Everybody's looks a little different. But at the core of this, we do what we do for time and money freedom, right? So talk about the early days of your journey of how, you know, you started building this machine of where it is now, because I think that could be particularly inspirational and helpful for people that are wanting to go that path, whether it be podcasting or blogging or whatever.
Yeah. So this goes way, way back. So I started my career was very traditional. I started, you know, we're in Bismarck, North Dakota, we're 33 miles from the geographical center of North America, so we're very scientifically in the middle of nowhere. I can see Canada from my house just about, so middle of nowhere. And North Dakota is, you know, there's like 600,000 or 700,000 people in the whole state, right? We're not super populated. This is before Zoom. This was not before podcasts, but before I knew what a podcast was. And North Dakota is really, you know, heavy in coal and oil. And so every financial advisor was sort of targeting people retiring from the coal mines and the oil fields. They had big pensions. They had, you know, they were kind of the A clients. And one of the things I would do to meet new clients is I would go to these resource fairs, these natural resources conferences. And I would put up my booth and I would try to meet people. We rented one of those money machines, you know, the tornado money machines, you know? And so we,
Oh yeah. Like they have on the lottery balls.
Right. Things
like
I thought this was a great idea, except it's really hard to talk to somebody about their retirement when this like 10,000 horsepower vacuum is spinning this money around. It's like, okay, this is one of those ideas that was a great idea on paper, did not think it through. So, you know, luckily I'll only do that 500,000 more times in my life. Have a great idea, don't think it through. But what I noticed at these conferences was, you know, the average age of the guy or gal walking around was 59. And then a year or two later, it was 48. And then a year or two later, it was 36. And they, you know, the oil is obviously boom and bust. It's generational cycles. And coal mines were all built in the early 80s. So we have these generational hires. And I thought, boy, it's no secret that these people retiring want to work with advisors and they've got a couple million dollars. So this is, these clients are a resource that are going to become more and more scarce and more advisors are going to be competing. So you've either got to deliver more value, which is really hard for the client to see from where they're sitting, or you've got to reduce your price, which is going to pinch your margin. Not that I really knew what value and margin was that early in my career, but I knew that more people competing over a scarcer resource was bad. And so I said, gosh, how do I figure out how to find more clients in Bismarck? And I was just scratching my head. And then, you know, I just figured out one day, you know, I'm subscribed to like 28 different podcasts. Why don't I try and start a podcast? And so I ended up launching my own RIA shortly thereafter, October of 2015, I started the podcast. Before that, I took an online blogging course because I thought that was the key to finding clients online, you know, from Bismarck, but it ended up being the podcast. So that's sort of where I started, sort of almost like a scarcity. I found myself in a position of scarcity and I was sort of under the gun and I had to find this next thing.
So, okay. So you go into podcasting and Gary Vee talks about the four mediums here, right? So we didn't have five, even 10 years ago, didn't have Alexa voice and Google voice. So that's an extra thing, but we had podcasting, which you went into, we had blogging or writing, and we also had video. What in Ben's array of talents made you go into podcasting amongst one of those other ones? Because they're all intimidating, I think, but what made you kind of gravitate towards podcasting?
Well, I started as a blogger. I took Jeff Rose's blogging course, Online Advisor Growth Formula, back in like middle 2015, I would say. And I thought for a hot minute that I was a blogger, but it took me like 3 months to write like a C- blog post. And I thought, this is never going to drive any traffic. You know, this writing is not for me. But I found myself that I was subscribed to like 28 different podcasts. So I thought, let's try this podcasting thing. There was only one or two retirement-focused podcasters at the time, back in 2015. So I thought, okay, this maybe could be an opportunity if I'm willing to kind of stick this out and see it through. Talk to essentially nobody for a really, really long period of time. But then it started to gain steam. I started to apply some of the blogging principles that I used in the blogging course to podcasting. And then things really started to pick up momentum over time.
You hinted at a couple things that I think I want to double click on is the whole notion around nobody's there at first, right? Everybody starts at zero. And I think it can lend itself to this whole thing around imposter syndrome that people have, or, you know, it's like only my mom and my dad are listening to the podcast. Why should I keep on going on? What made you kind of persevere through that? Just the tenacity? I mean, you got the military background. I know maybe some of that discipline kicked in there.
Stubbornness is definitely part of it. I think that every advisor is going to need to have an online presence. And in order to be found online, you have to have some kind of content, I think. I had the realization as I was learning about meeting clients online and starting to have a tiny bit of success is that the entire universe for financial advisors, I feel, is going to change. You know, here in Bismarck, North Dakota, and I think this is true for every city, but truer for smaller communities, is that someone looking for a financial advisor right now is limited to the best advisor in their part of town, right? And so from a client perspective, that's not the best because he or she's going to be a generalist. And for that financial advisor, it's not the best either because you can't really niche down. You have to sort of take on all comers. But with Zoom and the ability to meet with clients anywhere, not only can that client find the exact person who specializes in their exact skill, the financial advisor can go deeper with their knowledge and probably serve a lot less clients and work a lot less hours as a result. And then you're going to get a flywheel effect where you can redeploy that time saved to become more of an expert. And you're going to get this flywheel spinning faster and faster. You're dedicating more time to this. So I think 10 years from now, everybody is going to find their financial advisor online. In order to be found online, you have to have content. So I that's what I kind of saw coming down the road. And that's what got one of the things that got me kicking on content.
No. Excellent points here. Because the first thing I think you're hinting at, or not even hinting at, but explicitly saying, is it's going to be hard to get critical mass in your business and profitability if you're a generalist. I mean, that's great that you have the CFP, but like, what do you want to concentrate on? Who do you want to help? Who are you called to? Like I talk about a lot. So maybe start to speak about what made you, or what may, let me zoom out a little bit. What is the benefit, in your opinion, Ben, on drilling down and getting really specific? Because I know advisors hear this all the time, but they get so scared that, you know, I'm going to give up the $1 million client that's going to knock on my door if I say I only deal with these people. Well, like, what would be your advice to them?
You've got to be okay with that. You've got to have an abundance mentality that you're going to persevere through those lean times. Because being an expert in something is the answer to fee compression, right? If you're an expert in something and you know every nuance of, you know, such and such Fortune 500 company, if you know every single nuance of their compensation plan and their retirement plan, you're going to be easily able to deliver value well in excess of your fee, right? So expertise is the answer to fee compression. Fee compression comes from things being commoditized, like investments broadly, and in some aspects now, financial planning broadly. So expertise is going to get you there. So you've just got to get through that kind of high friction beginning stages, right? It's probably going to take 3 years for whatever content you create to really catch on. Michael Kitsis talks about that all the time. Any niche practice is probably going to not hit any significant growth for 3 years because it's just, you got to get the word out. So you're going to start leaner, but you're going to finish so much stronger because you're delivering value well in excess of your fee. You're probably able to charge a premium fee. You're able to work less hours because your clients, you know, need you more. You can deliver a repeatable process. I mean, there's so many things that you can do with that niche audience that you just can't do as a generalist. So I want, when you think about your expertise, your goal would be to be 1 mile wide and 10 miles deep rather than 10 miles wide and 1 mile deep.
No, that's excellent advice. What you brought up a lot of things. I want to kind of speak to the aspiring financial professional / career changer. What would be your advice for that person looking at this industry and saying, yep, I want to get there, as far as how they gain their experience and if they should be working for a firm? I mean, I think there's a couple. I'm actually working with a client right now on my consulting business that is, you know, been doing engineering for forever, in his late 50s, mid to late 50s, and he's going to hang his own shingle. Like, he's like, I'm going in on the expertise thing. I'm going to niche out. Maybe kind of give some, I don't know about pros and cons, but maybe like some advice for a career changer that's looking to enter this industry, but maybe they don't want to work for somebody. Maybe they want to hang their own shingle. Would you advise that, or what would be your thoughts?
Well, that's not what I did. So, I mean, I really can't give a lot of comments. You know, I can only do, I only learn things by doing it and screwing it up, right? I mean, that's sort of my nature. it's hard for me to say. I'll say, if it is possible, it's never been more possible than it is now. I mean, you could, if you're an engineer, that's fairly 9-to-5. I'm sure a lot of engineers, especially software engineers, computer engineers, are working from home now. What a great opportunity to side hustle, become a student of the game. Maybe you do paraplanning as a freelancer for a bigger company or a more established, you know, independent advisor, and just start to learn what their systems and processes are, where they're providing value. Maybe even try to learn about the business side. You know, what sort of margins are they looking for? What is their ideal client? What sort of revenue do they generate, and how and why? And so I think paraplanning could be a great side hustle. Content creation could be a great side hustle. Start to grow your email list, start to grow subscribers to your blog or your YouTube channel. I mean, you could really make sure the boat is close enough to the dock before you jump off, keeping that engineering side hustle, or keeping that engineering as your core job, pay your health insurance, for goodness sakes, and wait until you're almost established on this other side before you decide to change that career fully. And also, you'll find out maybe you hate it. I mean, maybe whatever is scratching your engineer brain, is you're not getting that same fulfillment from financial planning. So yeah, you know, you could wait until that other side is established before you completely sever ties with your normal gig. So from my experience, don't know if it's possible, but if it is possible, it's never been more possible.
No, great point. So like, so let's just say this is, you brought up something while you were saying that I want to kind of drill down on, which is this notion of making the leap, right? So the analogy that I'm going to steal that you just said would, you know, getting the boat close enough to the dock before you jump, which is, you know, these things about paraplanning, which is a more popular thing where you can kind of bolt on to the side, maybe a more established independent advisor has some work that they don't really feel like doing as far as collecting the data and doing all this other kind of stuff. They just want to do the recommendations and the strategy and the planning. However, you noted some other things that I want to really, really drill down into, because I don't think a lot of people think about it from this standpoint, which is content creation, right? Like starting your own library, getting some, you know, topics. Like a lot of people that I know, they go directly into the education. Not to say anything's wrong with that, but to go into CFP education just and say, well, this, somebody's going to hire me just because I started the CFP curriculum. Maybe not, right? Why don't you, while you're doing that, start, you know, reviewing some of those concepts, blogging on them, doing videos on them, all that kind of stuff. It sounds like that's what you're saying, is that content creation can actually be a really, really good transferable skill as you market yourself as an aspiring financial professional to other firms or whatnot. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, gosh, if you want to market yourself to another firm, bring an audience with you. I mean, you're a lock for a hire, right? I mean, bring an email list, bring a podcast, a YouTube channel, you'd be a lock, right? You're bringing not necessarily clients, but a prospect funnel with you. I mean, what an amazing thing to bring to the interview table. But I would say, you know, teaching by doing, you know, is a great way to learn as well. You know, Dom, I could give you any topic on earth and I could say, next weekend, you're going to be on a stage in front of 2,000 people. You're going to make sure that you're an expert on that before you climb up on that stage, right? Humiliation is an amazing motivator. So if you're going to say, I've got a date with a microphone or a pad and a pen, and I'm going to release this on Monday morning, and it's about employee benefits for such and such company, you're going to master that, right? I mean, that accountability is a great motivator for learning. I know people look at like, I want to be a CFP or I want to be a CPA or CFA or whatever the big C is. I don't know that that's such a huge differentiator anymore, because everybody's a generalist unless you're a content creator. And if you're a content creator generalist, you better be Susie Orman or Dave Ramsey or Clark Howard or somebody that's got millions and millions of views, or else you're just not going to make any ripples in that pond. So I would say content creation works on a lot of levels.
Yeah, and I think that it's intimidating, right? And I think it's just that human, we touched on this before, it's the human factor where, you know, you might not be getting those likes or subscribes, you know, I call them vanity statistics. But if you're putting out really great content, eventually people are going to start to see that. It's just, you got to stick to it. And I know that some of the career changers I work with, or aspiring financial professionals, they are doing that because they realize the value in it. And it is the long game, right? All the more reason for maybe not leaving your career, using this as a side hustle. There's 24 hours in a day, and you don't need, you know, all those hours to, you know, let's just say take 1 or 2 hours, maybe even on the weekends while you're creating content and building up this brand. Let's talk about some more strategies that work for you. You had a real, I would say, a vast level of experience Before you came here, you spent time in the military. You were one of Dave Ramsey's ELPs. You worked at Thriving Financial. Kind of talk about how those parts of your journey added to what you feel the product of the podcast is now. Because I think people, I was just talking about this with one of my last guests, is sometimes people don't look at what their journey before, how that can be adding to content that they're creating. I think the term that he used was stacking your skills, right? So you had skills in the military. You had skills from working with Thrivent, which is more of a closed, proprietary function. You've had the entrepreneur thing with Dave Ramsey. Talk about how that's added to the Benjamin Brandt brand now.
Well, you can learn something from everybody, right? Whether they're positive lessons or negative lessons, you can take something from every interaction. So I don't know how well my military skills transcribe to being a financial advisor. I was a combat engineer. So, we would go on real low speed patrols and we would patrol for improvised explosive devices to keep supply routes open and things like that. So if I'm feeling really cheesy, I'll say, I helped soldiers avoid landmines in Iraq, and now I help my clients avoid landmines in retirement. But I rarely feel that cheesy. So, but
the tenacity, there's some discipline and there's some tenacity. There's following of rules and procedures, all of which have to be done in the client process, right? You can't do things out of order. You have to build a process, like you said earlier, that is scalable so they can repeat it
sure.
over and over.
Sure. And learning from your mistakes as well. That's a really popular thing in the Army. After every patrol, we would do an after action review, an AAR. And so we would sit down and we'd say, what went well? What is repeatable? What should we avoid next time? And I use that now on a really regular basis with my team. And that's how we change our processes over time. In the insurance world, I really got a good feeling for what I liked and what I didn't like. And I knew that I couldn't build the flexibility and the kind of lifestyle that I wanted in a proprietary world. Didn't love life insurance, didn't love annuities, really saw the benefit of planning and really saw the benefit of wrap agreements where, I'm having to earn the client's business every 3 months or they're going to kick me to the curb as well they should if I'm not earning my fee. And so I knew that with minimum production requirements and things like that was not a good fit. I worked there for them for like 7 years, but I was swimming upstream for like the last five. I'm the Capital City Wealth Management is the first ever RIA in the history of the state of North Dakota. I didn't know what else was out there. I thought if I leave Thrivent, I'm going to go to a company that's going to have the same thing, just in a slightly different flavor. And so I really felt like I was stuck. Loved my clients, loved financial planning. But then it wasn't until XY Planning Network launched, and I never did become a client, but learning about this was an option where one person and maybe one or two staff members could make a go of this. And then I launched and I was able to apply lessons, both what I liked and what I wanted to avoid from previous lives into what Capital City is. I knew that I wanted to sort of accumulate assets and accumulate clients, but I didn't have a specific ending point by a specific date. And, if you want to set a goal, it's got to be a SMART goal, a specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, SMART. I didn't have that until I started working with mastermind groups and coaching and starting to drill in some of those things so I could actually measure my progress and make changes to keep me on track. So those are the lessons I learned and how I applied them.
You bring up something that I think is a little bit of beneath the surface in our world. And it may be because we're in the positions of being experts, but talk about this incorporation or integration of coaching into your making you a better man, a better person, a better business owner. Because I think a lot of it, like I've worked with a lot of advisors from a consulting standpoint. And, the two things that I don't see a lot on those, line items on their profit and loss is the amount of money they're reinvesting into the business for marketing and the amount of money they're reinvesting into the business for coaching. Like those two are always deficient. So maybe you can kind of speak to that about how that's maybe helped you in the past.
Yeah. So you're going to be the same person that you are today, 5 years from now, except for the people you meet and the books you read, right? That's a famous saying by someone I don't remember. Don't give me credit. Someone smart said it. But what that is really saying is, what are you reinvesting into yourself? So you've got to invest. If you want to grow quickly, you should be investing like 3 or 4% of top line revenue back into becoming a better advisor, become a better dad, living a more spiritual life, being more healthy, whatever it is. So you should be working with coaches, mastermind groups, individual coaches, group coaches, paid masterminds, free masterminds, online courses, you name it. You should always be improving yourself, because if you plan on being alive 5 years from now, which I hope you do, you're going to be there eventually. Why not start this thing now? And then you'll just be better for it when you eventually get there. People say, well, yeah, I do want to start a podcast, but it's going to take so long. You're 40 years old. You're going to be in this career 5 years from now, whether you start a podcast or not. Why don't you just start one today and see what happens? Then you'll be, if it works out for you, you'll be so happy that you did it. You wish you would have started sooner. If you don't, or you know, if you don't start one, you're still going to be in the same position, but worse off. So there's very little risk when it comes to taking some of these plunges. But for me, coaching and masterminds were incredibly impactful, because I would set a goal and I'd say, oh, I want to hit $100 million in assets by my 40th birthday. And they would say, great. What are you going to do next week to take a step in that direction? Or I'll say, okay, I'm going to record 52 unique podcasts this year. Then my accountability group and group coaching or in my mastermind group would say, great. What are you going to do if you don't? And then we get to think of extreme accountability, really silly things like, you know, if I don't hit the goals that I'm saying I'm going to hit, I have to let my hair grow out for a year. Or I've got to send $1,000 check to my least favorite politician and write in the memo, one of many, call me every day, something like that. You know, so especially as an independent financial advisor, especially as a career changer, it's lonely. You're an island, right? You need that accountability. You need that support system. You need someone that's not your spouse, because, you know, more than likely they don't care. It's not your siblings or people that you used to work with.
That's a kind way of putting it, sir.
Oh, I could make a list of the things my wife does not care about. 200 episodes in, I would be surprised if she listened to one. It's just not her thing. And that's nothing wrong with that. But just preference. Opposites attract, right? But yeah, so yeah. So masterminds, coaching, courses, you've got to get the time and the money to improve yourself, and you'll be the same person. You know, how many 5-year increments do we get in a career? 20, 30, 40 years. 5 years is a big deal. You've got to be investing all of the time. Mm. That's the only way that you can improve. Invest in yourself. So there's got to be top line revenue, top line number, 1, 2, 3, 4%. The more you invest, the more you'll grow. You've got to have that kind of a paid group coaching is an excellent starting point.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, and it's not just because I have coaching programs and stuff. It's just I have a executive coach myself. For the last 3 years, I've had a video coach for my YouTube channel. It's just this investment into Dominique, as people are looking at him now, is like, dude, I'm still trying to pile stuff on. It's like there's areas mm-hmm. that I feel like I'm deficient in, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, so. Right. I think it's the mentality to always be learning, not just so that I can have the benefit of being a better advisor to my clients. That's great. But also just the best version of me. Like I have this, you know, high waterline of what my potential could be. And I think I want everybody that's listening to this to be thinking about that, because if you're thinking about how you use media to raise your authority and reach your ideal client, part of that is showing up as the best version of you, right? So, no, I love that you said that.
You mentioned discipline early on in the episode. And I read a quote the other day. I've been repeating it to my kids constantly, is discipline is keeping a promise to yourself, right? Discipline is so you're promising yourself that you're going to be a better person in some aspect in the future. And I think this really rings true to financial advisors. There's really two ways that I can really, really mess up a client's life. And I can apply that to myself too. The obvious one is if they run out of money at 81, boy, did I really mess up as an advisor? Didn't hold them accountable. I didn't help them practice discipline. They ran out of money. But the other way that I can really mess up as an advisor, so if I tell them no, 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 don't do this, wait on this. And then they're 90 years old and they've 4X their investments, but they are going to die with regret. They have untapped potential left in their portfolio. That's another way that I can really mess up as an advisor. That's a way that we can mess up in our own personal lives, is saying, I'll invest some time with Dominique at some point in the future. I'll do this then. But then you're going to get to the end of your career and you're going to be saying, what if? You're going to have that. You're not, maybe you won't die with regret, but you'll end your career with regret. So I would say discipline, keep that promise to yourself. Find out a way to invest in whatever program it is. Maybe it's investing in an $8 book on Kindle or Audible. You've got to take that next step. You look at Dominique and you say, well, this guy's super successful. You're looking at version 20.0, right? So you had to get to 175 and 150 and from 125 to 150. Right? So it all starts with that small step. So figure out whatever that is. Maybe make a free mastermind group. Find five or six guys or gals that you can meet with over Zoom every Friday morning over coffee. Set some goals there. Make them hold you accountable. Make it a group lift, right? Stop being an island. Don't die with regret. Figure out how you're going to get there, because, man, getting there is, it does feel great. It's the journey. It's the journey of self-improvement where the joy really lies. I tell you, it is awesome to hand your wife a six-figure check and say, I'll bring you another one in 3 months. But the journey actually feels better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that, man. It's so much that you say there. I just kind of wanted to leave it sitting there in its own greatness. There's so many things around this notion around accountability. And people probably listening to this, looking at the title, like, you guys are not talking about stuff that I want, you know, to check the box about being on media. And I think it's really interesting, because as much as video and content that I've created, what I've realized is the more that I understand myself, the more that I am in my zone of genius, as Gail Hendricks talks about, that version of me showing up on media is the most authentic me. And that's what makes for great content, actually. It's so funny. I've had so many clients that have reached out to me that have said, you know, I hit your website and I started going through your videos, and I immediately knew I wanted to work with you because you're the same person on the videos. And I think there's something to be said about this. A, it does take a lot of reps to get there. B, though, everything that we just talked about in the last 10 minutes or so about investing in yourself is the other part. And I think you have to enjoy the journey in order to get to that point. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're creating content in YouTube or podcast form, people are going to smell it on you. If you're just going through the motions, if you're just reading through the CFP manual aloud, right, nobody's going to tune into that for very long, other than your mom and your sister, and your sister's probably lying about it anyway. So you've got to enjoy it, because that's going to come through, right? Yeah. I've done everything from TV to blogging to YouTube appearances to podcast. I think I've done everything a person can possibly do, other than pilot the plane with the sky rating that you see on the beach. I haven't done that, nor would I want to. But other than that, I think I've done everything. And if you don't legitimately enjoy it, if it's a chore, that's going to come through in your presentation. People are going to smell that on you.
Yeah. I remember my wife. She was one of the ones that helped me with getting on video, because at one point, and I've told this story a bunch of times, but it's so apropos for what you're saying right now, is I was talking behind like a screen, like a PowerPoint, and it was just my voice. And my wife, who's obviously much smarter than me, said, so let me get this straight. You're a financial advisor and you're trying to get people to trust you with their money, but you're not showing your face. And I was like, oh, okay, good point. So that's when I invested into the video. And yeah, it was excruciating at first, right? You know, you got to learn to look into the camera and be expressive and da da da, all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it did work. So I want to bring this in for a landing, and I really appreciate your time here. What would be kind of this overarching, if we will, if somebody's like, you know, just tuned in right now or whatever, and they're, you know, trying to get the Cliff Notes version of this, Cliff Notes in air quotes, what would be a punch list that you would give them for maybe the top three things to attract your ideal client? Kind of canvassing back through what we've talked about in this last 30 minutes or so.
So you're asking, how do you attract your client?
Yeah, yeah. What would be some of the top things that you would say an advisor that's like about to hang his shingle, about to start whatever, and they're like, okay, I can podcast, I can video, I can do all this stuff. Like, what are some things that they just need to really drill down on in order to do that, to attract their ideal client?
So you got to figure out who you're talking to, right? With any kind of content, if you Googled Roth IRAs right now, you probably would get a million results, right? And there's new Roth IRA content coming out every day. So you've got to know who you're talking to so that you can put your own unique spin on it, you know, your own unique lived experiences, whether that's you're a little bit edgy or you're a little bit funny or you're a little bit whatever it is. you've got to know exactly who you're talking to. So you could base that on life experience. If you're already an advisor, you could picture your favorite client, list all the things that that you know about them, list all the things that make them your favorite client. And then when you're creating content, talk to that person, name them, and talk to that person, whether you're blogging, YouTubing, or podcasting, doesn't matter, you know, talk to that person. So you've got to know who you're talking to, who you're targeting as a potential perfect client that you can deliver massive value to. So you've got to figure out that avatar client ahead of time before you even decide what medium you're using to create content. Who are you talking to? And that's going to, I mean, we're all talking, when we're talking about financial planning, you know, Series 6, Series 7, Series 65, CFP, it's all the same stuff. It's all the same tax code. But your lived experiences and how you look at things to attract clients, that's different. So that's your differentiator.
I totally agree. I love that. I love it. Before I even get, because a lot of advisors come to me about, I need to spend this on website. I need to spend this on tech stack. I'm like, who are you talking to? What's your message? Because it's got to resonate. So I love that.
Yeah, there's three. There's 300,000 financial advisors in our country, maybe 600,000 if you layer like insurance, you know, car insurance, health insurance, things like that on there. So how are you specifically going to stand out? And this is something that I struggled with even after the podcast started having success, saying that, you know, yes, I specialize in retirement planning, but that might have been a differentiator in 2015, but maybe it's not in 2019 or 2020. I was, you know, I wanted to stop taking new clients by my 40th birthday, which is next week as we record this. And I just wasn't getting to that goal. And I said, I got to drill down more on what makes me unique, what makes me stand out from the crowd. You know, I've narrowed myself down, but I need to get a little bit more narrow. And so I hired this coach, John Barron. You could look him up online. Orion Coaching, I think is his niche, is his company. And he said, to have a differentiator, and he worked me through this whole exercise, but I'll share with you the Cliff's Notes of it, is one way to find out what your differentiator is write down the answer to two of these questions. And the questions are, everyone else does X and I don't because X, or the same question reversed, I do X and no one else does because X. Answer those questions as many ways as you possibly can. Fill up a legal pad with what you do and no one else does, or what you do and what everyone else does and you don't, and then pick one or two. And that's your differentiator. And so every interaction that you have with a prospective client needs to point back at the differentiator, right? For me, it's retirement income guardrails, which is like a flexible income from your portfolio, and taxes in retirement. In fact, the Retirement Tax Podcast is a podcast I'll be launching with a CPA friend of mine later this year. So every interaction I have, whether it's an email, whether it's content that I'm creating, whether it's my website, or even just, you know, clicking on Acuity Scheduling to schedule an appointment, as many times as I can, I'm pointing back to guardrails and taxes to say, these are my differentiators. So talk to an avatar, figure out your differentiator, then create content.
No, I love it. I love it. That's a great list. A great list to get people started. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You said you have a mastermind group that you've been a part of for a long time, and you're doing some stuff with dads that are financial advisors. We'd love to hear about that, because I'm pretty sure we have a couple in the audience at least.
Yeah. So this would be... So I bought this blogging course from Jeff Rose back in 2015. And then a few years later, he created a paid mastermind, like kind of like an inner circle type mastermind, that he actually was with Michael Hyatt, who's a famous author. And he had such value from that, he wanted to recreate that for himself. It wasn't specific to financial advisors, but it was just for people that want to be better dads and live a more fulfilled life. And I had some amazing breakthroughs in the 2 years that we did that program. And from the moment that I really got traction in that group, I said, I need to recreate that for myself at some point. Now, I know I needed to dedicate all of my attention on the podcast and growing my business first. You know, you can probably relate to this, Dominic, with the entrepreneur's mind, left to our own devices, we'll have 25 projects completed at 10% rather than the one project that matters completed at 100%, right?
This is right.
My coach, Stephanie Bogan, says, make the one thing the one thing. Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec would say, don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. So two influential people in my life, similar advice.
I love it.
So I knew I couldn't start this group until I hit my goals, you know, $100 million, less than 100 households by my 40th birthday, hit that earlier this summer. So now I have the freedom to redeploy that time.
Congrats.
That I was dedicating to taking on new clients to something else. And that's what this is going to be. It's the Dad Advisor, Dad Financial Advisor, Mastermind Group. It is significantly expensive. We're going to charge $20,000 a head, but I'm going to make sure that every person gets a 10x investment, $200,000 worth of value from that group. So we're going to meet every other week, two groups of 12. And so it's not for a new advisor. It's for an established advisor that's looking to go from X to 10x, you know, whatever that is, fees, revenue, time off, more time with the family, whatever it is. But we're doing that through the Perfect RIA program. So I read Who Not How. It's a strategic coach book earlier this year. So everything in my mind is not how to do something, but who can help me and make this thing better. So my Who Not How is the Perfect RIA. Micah Schlansky and Matthew Jarvis, I have a team. I'm going to work with their team to facilitate so I can make sure to deliver massive value to this group of 24 guys that are going to take this journey with me. So I've got no way to really pitch it, but I would say tune into the Perfect RIA podcast and you'll hear when we're ready to launch. So we'll be meeting every morning, every other morning, two groups. We'll be doing two live events. We'll be doing fitness challenges and sober months, and we'll be hearing from experts on being a better dad, better marriage. We're going to figure out how to 10X our lives over the course of a year, all of us together, myself included. So I've been waiting for like 5 years to put this on. I finally hit my goals and I have the capacity to really make this an amazing thing for a small group of guys. And I could not be more excited to sink my teeth in it. I really want to pay this forward to other dads, this lifestyle that I have.
I know. I can tell by your energy that this is definitely a passion project of yours. And I love that you're doing that. I think we in this industry have, you know, I think first of all, we're just in an incredible position, in an incredible position to be family tree changers, which is what good financial advice does. And to be a servant to a family and be that go-to person is such a privilege and an honor. And it pays well too, obviously. And I just love the fact that you're investing into the industry, you know, in the profession, so that more people can do better things. Because there's stress and there's anxiety in this job and all that kind of stuff. And what you're doing sounds like it's going to help alleviate some of that. So I really love that. As you know, this is a podcast to empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their client at the next level. With that being said, what word or words of wisdom would you leave with our audience, Ben?
It's worth it. I can tell you from the other side of the fence, you know, it's worth it. It's worth the effort. Don't come to me with excuses, right? I record almost every episode of my podcast in my car, outside of my kids' hockey or gymnastics practices, or diving now. I guess we're doing diving now. Which my middle schooler did not appreciate the song Holy Diver by Dia, which I thought would really resonate with her now that she's in diving. It doesn't, but that's off track. YouTube Holy Diver by Dio. You'll rock your socks off, but that's totally unrelated. My point is, don't come to me with excuses. You're not busier than I am, right? Six kids. I've got five different jobs, working part-time. Do it. It's worth you owe it to yourself to do it, right? Discipline is keeping a promise to yourself. You're going to be 5 years older 5 years from now, regardless. Start that thing you've been meaning to start. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to changing your family tree. You're not going to get there unless you apply the discipline and apply the effort and hire the people that you need to hire to help you get there as a mutual lift. So your best excuse ran out yesterday. You've got to do this today because it's worth it. It's worth it. From the other side of the fence, I can tell you that the climb is worth it.
Yeah, that's excellent, man. You gave me a lot of different sound bites in that last 30 seconds there, so I appreciate it. Benjamin Brandt, thank you for...
Was it just the Dio stuff? That was the sound bite? Or
say it again?
Not the Dio stuff.
Huh? Say it again?
The Ronnie James Dio... Okay.
No, I'm just messing with you. I think your wisdom from being an advisor that has success with all the bumps along the road are just, it's excellent fertilizer for the soil of the aspiring financial professional and existing financial professional that wants to take it to the next level. So no, I appreciate you for sharing all this with us today.
You could probably tell I could talk about this for hours. So I love motivating financial advisors, especially dads. There was a lot of people that spent a lot of time with me, way more than they probably should have, way more than my performance would justify. But they paid it forward to me and they changed my life radically. I'm forever indebted to like a Mount Rushmore of a couple guys and gals. And I want to pay that forward to the other dads that are maybe, you know, rounding first base. If I'm on third and they're rounding first, I want to get them to second, get them to third. I care a lot about paying that forward. So that's what I'm about.
Cool. Cool. Well, great stuff, man. We appreciate you, and we'll see you around. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey there. I hope you really enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. First, the best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Next, remember that the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate it if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please visit my website at www.domhendersonsr.com and click the button that says, I'd like to learn more. I'd love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now until our next conversation.